Down, 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 down. Sweet home Alabama, where the skies are so blue. Hello, good evening, and welcome to Abby Daily with me, Abby Roberts. It's just coming up to 5 o'clock on Monday, the 15th of April, 2024. I've gone into Dalek mode. Oh, so weather in London is pretty shit, to be honest. It was very warm on Saturday. And today it was kind of a little bit overcast yesterday, but today I don't know what the hell the weather's doing. It's freezing at the moment. It was raining when I went out this morning, and yeah, it's just a bit bleh. So how were your weekends? Hope that you had a good break or whatever you're doing away at the weekend. I, as you know, on Friday wasn't going to. Well, I just had a really, as I've explained, a bit of a weird week with one thing untother kind of weighing me down a bit, and I thought not really up to going anywhere on Saturday night. But guess what? Old Roberts put on her dancing shoes. She said to herself, you only come round once on this planet, so you better fucking pull your fucking finger out. So I went along on Saturday night to see Madeline Bell in Cadogan Hall, and I'll tell you the whole blow-by-blow account. First, I went to meet some of the Abbey Daily fam in Sloane Square. Oh, you know Sloane Square, my darling, which is actually it's a bit of my stamping ground. Well, not that specific part of it, but the King's Road. The King's Road, my darling. Back in the day, yes. Grew up on the King's Road when it was fun, cool and funky and hip and great. And actually, it's not too bad, but it's changed. But we met at a very nice restaurante called Cote Brasserie. You know, there are a number of Cotes all over London. Very nice. And so I met Shouty Mom, Jules, the Jules, Suzanne, and her daughter Holly, who's an actress, who's brilliant, who's very, very beautiful and stunning, and yes, just lovely, as is Suzanne, who I'd never met Suzanne. So it was our first time. What a woman. We had such a lovely time. It was Shouty, Jules, Holly, Suzanne, and me. So five of us in this restaurant, and it was just perfect. Lovely food. It was boiling hot. As I'm speaking, I'm just trying to remember what Holly's been in. Legend? Is it The Legend or Legend, I think, she was in, and something else. Oh, and she's done an advert recently, I think. Is it for senior service? No, that's a cigarette. For senior something. Senior citizens. Suzanne, you'll have to. Suzanne's shouting at the microphone. For fuck's sake! Abs, it from the bath. Put it in the comments, Suzanne, my darling, when you listen to this, so that then I can say tomorrow what to look out, so people can look out for Holly in what she's been in and what she's going to do. She went to Central School of Speech and Drama. I remember that much. Yes. Central, my darling, only one of the best. So that was lovely. And so we had a lovely meal all together. It was, you know, warm. Quite freakishly warm. Well, actually, no. Oh, God. I sound like a bloody climate person, aren't I? It's freakishly warm. Like global warming had attacked. It was just a nice spring evening, you know, but quite a shock because, of course, the last few months have been shit. So it was basically the first day where I hadn't worn a coat. Wore my sensible coat with the fur hood, which is a bit strange. You know when you kind of go, oh, no, I don't really need this. Oh, God. and your whole body temperature, everything kind of goes up. First world problems. So that was lovely. We had a really good laugh, a few drinks. And then the show start was at Cadogan Hall in Chelsea, just literally around the corner. So we rocked up. Oh, and outside the concert, Francis O'Neill and his friend Annie, who's also a fellow yellow boarder, they joined as well, which was so lovely. So they met us outside the hall. So we all, we just all, you know, queued up, got in, got some programs and went up to our seats. Really good view. We were just at the top, in the front row, just kind of over, just looking down, looking at the, down at the stage. Brilliant. Really good seats. And, so thanks to Jules as well, the Jules for organising that. Absolutely brilliant. And we were there in good time and, well, actually just got there in the nick of time. She said, sorry, I lied about that. We were literally like, quick, we need to just have a quick cigarette and then go in. And, it was just, honestly, I'm on a bit of a come down, as you can probably tell from the, just from the whole experience, like being with the Abbey Daily, some of the Abbey Daily fam was the highlight for me. And the fact that we were also witnessing Madeleine Bell, who just has, she's 81 years old. Hope she doesn't mind me saying that. Well, I mean, it is, you know, she is on her, it is public on her Wikipedia page. And holy shit. What a voice! One of, as people know, I saw at the 606 Club, one of the greatest voices. Just her pitch. She sings through the note, through it. So I should, let's go back to the beginning. So it was Matthew Jones's choir, the Matthew Jones Choir and the Matthew Jones Orchestra. So on a lovely stage, absolutely packed. Before I get into the nerdy singing stuff, so Matthew looking very very smart in a black sort of I was going to say slightly shimmery suit. It wasn't. It was a, I don't know the exact name of the material, but he did have nice black patent shoes on. I love a good pair of patent shoes. Give them a polish, and they just look, don't they? They just look really sort of dapper, and. Choir all, you know, quite a big choir all sat at the back and orchestra and a drummer just in front of the podium when Matthew was conducting. And the three backing singers, obviously I was going to be one of them. And the singer that had been, well, that had replaced me was a big black guy. So uncannily similar. You would not have known the difference at all. So it opened with, I haven't got the entire list of like all the, what have I in the program? Let's have a little look. I don't think there's not a running order, but I'll just go through like a few of them that sort of stuck out for me. So it opened with Oh Happy Day, which everyone will know, the gospel. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, it was just so, it was great. And like the choir giving it large, you know, giving it large. Oh, happy Jesus. Watch my sins away. Just, I was like, Madeleine's voice just cut through. It was just awesome. Awesome. She came on looking very cool in, I think she was wearing a blue hat, so electric blue, little skull cap, woolen skull cap, and sequin, electric blue sequin jacket, and blue trousers, and blue, just looking really, yeah, really chic. And I was like, I said, I mean, those voices, you don't hear voices like that anymore because they go, oh, can we auto tune you? Can we? I blame whoever the fucking person was behind. You know, I believe, shares believe. And I believe in love. No matter how hard I try, you keep pushing me inside and I... Fuck off! You know what that was? That was auto-tune, but used to completely change the sound. And then, of course, it's changed singing altogether, recording. Right, anyway, I'll get off my fucking soapbox. But anyway, that's Madeline Bell. People have no idea, unless you're really a singer, the skill it takes to stand on a live stage and to sing like that. So it was just very exciting because it was all like, you know, it's just live music, live brilliant musicians. The good thing as well, you could look down at the audience and across and you could see people really enjoying it and just absolutely just mesmerized by Madeline. The highlight, well, the vocal highlight for me, without sounding like a wanky Guardian journalist, was I Who Have Nothing. And of course, people will know the Shirley Bassey, I Who Have Nothing, Shirley Bassey, I Who Have Nothing. I've never understood the Shirley Bassey thing. Shirley Bassey. It's like she's... I don't know. It's like she's... I don't know. Like she's fucking chewing something. Not my kind of voice. Benny King also did a version, I think. Yeah, from what I remember. Who Have Nothing. That's quite a cool version. But Madeline. Oh. Let me tell you. Beyond... I'm rarely moved when I'm watching... live music, but it was just perfection, but not perfection in that boring, ew, I'm taking a box. Yes, that's perfect. I can't describe. Emotion wise, she was just, she gave it her all, but it was still perfection vocally. What can I say? Just a great singer. One of the greatest. No doubt. You just go, I mean, God. It's very exciting when you hear that. And she was accompanied by Ian Shaw, her longtime collaborator, who's also brilliant, absolutely great, brilliant pianist. I've mentioned him before. Jazz is great, but the two of them together, it was, like I said, just very moving, you know, how much she put into it. Because there's one thing being great vocally, but also passionate when you sing. It's very rare that you get the two together where you have the precision, the pitch, and the tone of the voice and the kind of like because the two, yeah, like I said, they're rare, you know, that they go together. But my God, does she have it? Just from you know, blessed, divine, from the gods, from God rather, not the gods. Definitely just blessed by heaven, her voice. Oh, You Have Nothing. Written by Lieber und Stoller, who also wrote Hound Dog. And they wrote that. They also wrote, what else? Oh, I'm a Woman, W-O-M-A-N, Peggy Lee. They also wrote Pearl's a Singer. She sings songs. She stands up when she plays the piano in a nightclub. And you know the bit where it goes, it's Elkie Brooks is the version I know. And she, at the end, when she, they go into gospel, Pearl's a singer. She stands up when she plays the piano in the nightclub. Pearl's, and they do the old, they do the old Tamarine stuff. Love it. Anyway. So that's just a little rundown of some of their greatest hits. I think Mike Stoller is still alive. I think he's 91. Bloody hell, 91. He was born in 1933, for Christ's sake. So what else? They did. She did lots of, she did a few Blue Mink tracks. So Melting Pot was the last song, I believe, from memory. Sorry, getting old now, so I'm just thinking, was there anything else? Melting Pot. I'm Gonna Make You Love Me, which is one of Madeline's solo. Oh, it's just great. I thoroughly recommend. Get looking on Blue Mink, their stuff, and Madeline's stuff, because it's just, just extraordinary. So imagine you, I'm literally within, just very close, because we're sitting like, you know, it's not that far up on the stage. So I could see everything and everything going on. And it was lovely just seeing the little exchanges between, and hosted by Paul Gambaccini. Paul Gambaccini, whose voice is very, it's kind of transatlantic, you know, Paul Gambaccini, and I'm sure you've heard him and various radio shows he's done. And he kind of says, and am I right? Because he sat down with Madeline and said, and of course, you wrote this with so-and-so and so-and-so, and you, when you performed this, it was with the great because he's just, his knowledge, his musical knowledge, you know, his discography, oh, Matron, is kind of second to none, really. You know, who's written with who, and I think you'll find it was Joe Bangalini Fontani on the trumpet. I seem to remember on that album, which was released in 1961. That's it. But he's very, yeah, he's a proper music nerd. That's been his job. So, I can understand that. I'm not quite as nerdy. I think that's a male thing. You know, I'm not quite as nerdy as that. Although I'm pretty, you know, I am veering towards that nerd. But you know, when some men, it's very much men who go, yes, it was actually so-and-so that played the bass guitar on that album. He also played on so-and-so album. That's a very male thing to know. To have knowledge of names and dates on albums and who played on what. I think that's a football thing as well. Very much, isn't it? Like, oh, you know so-and-so. Yeah, he played in the so-and-so European Cup. You know, yeah, he was the one that scored that. That's definitely on, in general, women just don't, that's not really your thing. I can say that, can't I? Well, I've just have. Yeah, it's my fucking podcast, so shut up. You mean I've talked about differences between the sexes? Good grief. Whatever next? What else? Oh, and then Roger Cook. By the way, the backing singers were absolutely excellent. Very, very good. As was the choir. Roger Cook came on. Now, Roger is properly, my God. I mean, he was a member of Blue Mink. Vocalist, along with Madeline, and he wrote just little, not very well known songs like "I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing in Perfect Harmony," "Honeybees and Snow White Turtle Dove." Oh, he wrote that. The list of songs. I mean, I can't remember everything he did, but what else did he write? Oh, "Something's Got a Hold of My Heart." Gene Pitney's track was also recorded by Mark Almond. So he had two bites of the cherry. Roger Cook, just unbelievable, some of the stuff that he wrote. I think of other things as well. I'm sure I've probably missed off. Let's see what else he wrote. see if I remember Roger Cook songs. He says just "The Banner Man." That was um That's a Blue Mink, the Banner Man. Yeah, and Melting Pot is obviously the one I've mentioned. Yeah, there's absolutely there's loads of them. So I can't see any here. And he's best known for his collaborations with Roger Greenaway, who was also there. You've Got Your Troubles. I've mentioned Let's Teach the World to Sing. Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress. And in 1997, Roger Cook became the first British songwriter to enter the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. Oh, I know which one I've missed out. You've been talking in your... Oh, God, I started in the wrong key. Talking in your sleep. You've been talking in your... You've been talking in your sleep. That's it. Deepin' in your dream. Da, 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 da. Sorry, I started in the wrong key twice. You've been talking in your sleep. You've been talking in... It's quite hard, actually, that to sing. You've been talking in your sleep. Because if you hit the wrong... 3 o'clock. How's it start? 3 o'clock in the morning. Crystal Gayle covered it. Sorry, I massacred that. It's weird though. If you start on the wrong key, if you start in the wrong key, and you sing like one note, like slowly out, you just end up you're not singing the same tune. She says, speaking the obvious, stating the obvious. So sorry, Jules, I've just massacred that for you because I know Jules loves that song. So apologies for ruining Talking In Your Sleep. Talking In Your Sleep. Sleep singing the wrong tune. Abby Roberts. Da-da-da-da-da. And now I've sung a bit too low. Yeah, what else? Oh, well, it's just incredible. I'm trying to remember. Have I missed anything else out about the concert? Probably. Herbie Flowers, who was a member of Blue Mink, he came on at the end with Alan Parker, who was the guitarist in Blue Mink. So Herbie Flowers came on, and Herbie was a bass player, and he was the one that also created the doom 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 from Lou Reed's Take a Walk on the Wild Side, which I did have mentioned before in the pod when I was talking about the 606 gig I went to. So Herbie, yeah, so he was there on stage. Unbelievable. Fucking, they're proper fucking musical legends. Tell you who else was there? Joe Brown. Sam Brown's dad was in, I saw coming down the stairs. Was it she sang, "You better stop before you go and break my heart. Ooh, you better stop." Was it? I'm terrible with lyrics. I'm also sometimes terrible with fucking melodies. I can't bloody when I hit the wrong key, as you just witnessed. So Joe was there. Who else? Oh, Ben Miller was also in the audience. You know, Armstrong and Miller. I saw him as I was walking down the stairs. It's weird. I was saying to someone earlier. I said I'm not really in the past. I might have said, "Oh, hello, Ben. How are you?" But because of the last 4 years, I just dread, I don't know where the conversation would go. So have you said anything about, the COVID bullshit and the masks and the, and you probably supported the NHS, didn't you? And their murdering, murderousness. Well, yeah. And what about the vaccines? Yeah. Did you say anything about that? No, you didn't. Oh, okay. Right. Anyway. Yeah. Do you still use cash? What do you think about the COVID inquiry? Did you see me get arrested? That's probably why these people sometimes give me a wide berth. They're like, "Oh, fucking hell, it's her, the bloody troublemaker." So I feel weird. Showbiz to me doesn't have the same, not that it ever really did, to be honest with you. I mean, sometimes it's exciting. I mean, meeting someone like Bette Midler, you know, in Vegas. I mean, that was, yeah, it was, I'm not going to lie, it was a bit of a buzz. If I've been around people and gone, "Oh, isn't that so-and-so?" meeting Tom Jones. You just kind of go, right, yeah, that's interesting. I've got to be honest, my heroes now, if it was a choice between, I mean, don't get me wrong, if someone like Herbie Flat, you know, the talent, or Madeline Bell, it's incredible when it's the talent, but the talent for me comes first, not the are you really, really well known? Because that's not what interests me, actually. You know, the fame and the kind of like, oh, it's them. Like, put it this way, if Cheryl Cole was in a fucking room and Madeline Bell, then I'd be in with Madeline Bell. Because Cheryl Cole has no discernible talent whatsoever. You know, I mean, she's pretty. She's a Geordie. You know. And I'm sure, and she's very, you know, very attractive. I'm sure she can sort of vaguely hold a tune with a little bit of help from auto tune. But she's not talent. She's not a singer, and she's not a talent. So why would I be? Why? It's because the media, the TV, has told us to like people like that. Oh yeah, you must. It's the celebration of mediocrity, ladies and gentlemen. And that has definitely accelerated in the last 20 years. No question. No question. Let's celebrate mediocrity. So my heroes would be, if Bhakti, Sukrit Bhakti was around, I'd be like, oh, hello, Mr. Bhakti, Mike Yeadon. And all the ordinary men and women, you know, people I've met on marches who've done things like, I don't know, left the school they were teaching because of the mask thing and because of the jabs, or the doctors, the nurses who I've met at the marches who've basically just left their jobs. Sue and Steve, roundabouts, Francis, you know, people like that, who you just go, yeah, you're not, the whole world of the media, it's all just absolutely riddled with people with the bauble chasers. And that's not what floats my boat. It's not what anchors me. I'm not sure it ever was, to be honest with you. It just doesn't mean anything to me at all. If people don't have principle and something about them, you know? So it was a great show. So afterwards, you know, we all filed out, took quite a long time. They were quite strict as well with the bloody, the people that were working at the venue. You know, the people that are the ushers, bloody hell, I don't know where they got them from. And we did see one of them had a black mask on the other side of the hall. So, you know, where we were sitting, we could see right across. We saw a black mask on one of them. I was like, oh, it just looks so weird. I mean, it looked weird anyway during the shit show. But when you see people, it's like, oh my God, you're stopping yourself from breathing, and you're breathing in God knows what. So we left and we went to the pub, a pub round the corner. We walked for a bit and found the Fox and Hounds, which is a pub just off. It's quite near Sloane Square in one of those, I think actually near Graham Terrace, which is weirdly where I went to school. One of the first schools, and then I left because they were wankers, Francis Holland. It's a proper old boozer, you know? So we all went there and had a lovely chat and, sat down, got some wine. It was about 20 to 11 when we got there. So we didn't have that long because, of course, they close quite early, which is because it's residential area, I guess. So Suzanne, Holly, we got some Pinot Grigio. And Annie was sitting next to me as well. Annie's lovely. Very, very, she's great. Proper dedicated yellow borders, very awake, been awake for a long, 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 long time. And Francis, so chatting away to Francis and shouting Mom and Jules. And it was lovely because it was a small group of us And so we were all able to speak to each other, you know, speak a lot to each other. And I look forward to more events, more things. So after we'd had the drinky and talked about the, you know, about the show and what we'd like. Oh, and then me and Jules, I was thinking, oh, shall I turn in? And I thought, no, I'm going to go to the after party. So me and Jules got a tube, me, Francis and Jules and Shouty Mum got a tube because Shouty was getting a driving back to, I think it was Stanmore. And then we, me and Jules, then Francis, we said goodbye to, oh, Francis was on the tube. So we got off before Francis at Euston. That was it. And then I think he was getting off there as well. And then we went to the after party at the hotel where everyone was, and it was really good. So we had like drinks and we had a few more drinks, me and Jules, and had a little chat, said hello to Madeline and saw Matthew and had a nice chat with him. And yeah, just generally kind of mingled. And then listened to 70s tunes because we were turfed out of the bar, the kind of reception bar area, because they were closing. And then went into this kind of conference room thing where, you know, round table. So just sat and just basically me and Jules, you know, put the world to rights. And it was really amazing. So I'm really glad that I went, come on, Abs. You know, you feel a bit meh. You feel it down, whatever. But boy, am I glad that I did. That I thought, come on, Abs. Because these things don't come round very often. You know, these kind of opportunities to see people, to meet people. And Suzanne was, you know, down from Yorkshire, staying with her daughter. And Jules had come down from Dundee and had organised these tickets. I know some people couldn't make it. And it was just, yeah, it was just increds. So really worth it. My God. Yeah, beautiful time. So thank you to Jules for organising it. And also thank you to Matthew, who I know listens. Thank you for an excellent, excellent evening. And to Madeline. Please say thank you to Madeline. And Ian Shaw as well. Well, yeah, just blimey. I mean, that is, I'm hoping, you know, the legacy of live music, it carries on. Proper live music, not people that go, let me just put this through an auto tune or have somebody singing in the background, you know, miming. That's not the same. I mean, Madeline was doing it all exquisitely. Oh, just the timing as well. Timing, God, exceptional. So I went back. So I left Jules, left the hotel, because of course we went. Oh, and I'm going to get a cab now, Jules. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and then of course went to her hotel room, and then Jules, I'm calling a cab. An hour later, right, I'm definitely calling a cab. It was like 4:30 or something. Yes, I got back and just pretty much dropped into bed. Well, it was up for a little bit going, you know, because I was buzzing. And then, went to sleep. Sunday was a bit weird because it was like, oh, that was a really great night. And, dozed a bit, watching This Life. Remember This Life? About the lawyers. So watching a bit of that. And here we are. Here I am to tell the tale of Saturday night. So God bless you all for listening. And thank you. So great to meet you. Suzanne and Holly, don't forget to put what Holly's credits are in the comments section, and I'll read those out on Friday. And Shouty, so lovely to see you again. Been too long, and of course, The Jewels. Awesome. And Francisco and Annie. Lovely to meet Annie. And that's it. That's the end of the pod. I will be back tomorrow. Oh, you can see, by the way, Nick Cotton, my interview with Nick. I say interview, chat with Nick on the Abby Roberts Show, which was coming from Kegworth. Live from Kegworth. You can see that on YouTube. So go to my Abby Roberts Comedy Diva, or just type Abby Roberts in, and it will come up with my videos. And Rumble, you can also see it on the Rumble, Abby Roberts. So yeah, have a watch, have a listen, have a whatever. It's always great value, Nick. Nick Cod, my friend. All right, darling. So that's pretty much it now. Sorry for massacring talking in your sleep. Bloody hell, singing in my fucking sleep. Okay, that's the end. I will see you tomorrow for more Abby Daily. Oh, the sun's come out. Yeah, it's actually come out. How wonderful. It's maybe not as... I was literally blown over while I was walking back this lunchtime. The wind was really strong. But it seems to be sort of settling down now. Okay, see you tomorrow for more Abby Daily. Love you lots. Here comes the outro. Have I forgotten anything? No, I don't think I have. Have I missed any details? Well, too late now. Too late. It's gone. It's been and gone. All right, here comes the outro. Sweet home Alabama, where the skies are so blue. You've been talking in your sleep, sleeping in your dreams. Okay, yeah, that's enough of that. We'll let you know. Oh, thanks. Be seeing you.